A very good morning, one and all. Indeed, it is my joy to share with you the Word of God from the book of Hebrews. I've been preaching through the book of Hebrews here and will be teaching the book of Hebrews in Thailand Seminary. Of course, the structure a little bit different. This is a very important book. Through the studying of the book of Hebrews, I learned a lot of things, and especially theology. If you want to know theology, don't go to any other books. Study the book of Hebrews, because that is the basic of foundation for knowing theology. And of course, the first 10 chapters talk about that. And as you study that in great detail, then you know more and more things. I learned a lot through the studying of this book. And also, thank God for those who helped me to type, to translate, and to prepare this note for the lectures. And quite a number of them helping me, about 10 of them, doing this work for me. They are all behind the scene. I regard them as my co-laborers. And thank God for one translator, a retired general in the Thai army, wanted to join my class. They will fly from Bangkok to Chiang Mai to join my class for 2 days. And the sister also will be joining from Singapore. And this general studied the notes. He learned a lot about the doctrine of the Bible. Today, I'm not going to talk so much of the doctrine. I'm talking about faith, how faith is being applied into our Christian life. And that is the last half of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, 12, and 13. So I pray that you will pray for me. Pray that the Lord will use me as a channel of blessing to others. That's the thing I want request you all to pray for. Pray that I will have enough energy to teach and to preach the Word of God. I have a very tight schedule. Apart from teaching, I have preaching every weekend. So, almost non-stop. Until I reach Singapore, then I have a little bit of break and I will return. So do pray for me in this regard. As the years go by, you know, you do not have the stamina as before. Oh, before I preach a lot. Each week, minimum at least 2 sermons. Usually 3 or 4. That is a normal life of a pastor in the past. But now I cannot do that. So I need your prayer. I need God's strength to help me. So this is my request to all of you. And I will see you again in March, in the middle of March. So we come to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. I talked about verse 1 and 2 before, and now verse 7. Verse 7 has to do with the faith of Noah, a faith that works. Throughout the century, Satan has tried very hard to confuse and to mislead people regarding the relationship between faith and works. He will try to convince people that they can be saved by doing good works. And he will seek to persuade Christians to accept one of the two extreme views. He will convince them that good works are necessary to maintain salvation. Alright, if you are saved, you must do good, then you will be always saved. That's one view holding that way. Or, salvation is through faith. Therefore, good works are unnecessary. That's another extreme. Alright, since you are saved, you can do what you like. After all, you can still go to heaven. So these are the two extreme views that the Satan will use all ways and means to convince Christians. Okay. Now, throughout the scripture, the Holy Spirit teaches that people are saved only by grace through faith. Once saved, good works will invariably follow their... Once it is saved, good works will automatically follow their profession of faith in Christ. That is, good works will be the fruit of their salvation. People can see it by the way we live and in how we serve the Lord. There are many scripture verses regarding this. If our faith in Christ is genuine, we will show it in the way we live and work. As James has says, faith without works is dead. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, all the saints mentioned prove the genuineness of their faith in the way they live and in the good works they had done. All of them. And Noah, today we are going to talk about it, was without exception. His life was an illustration of obedient faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 again, this verse. Here it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. This verse suggests four things about the life of Noah. First of all, the certainty of faith. Second, the obedient faith. Third, the witness of faith. And finally, the legacy of faith. Let us first of all look at the first point here, the certainty of faith. Faith must have something to believe. When you say, I believe, okay, believe what? There must have something to believe. And in this case, it was a warning from God. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. God told him something, he had not seen it, and yet he believed. That is faith, right? That is faith. Noah was born during a crucial transition period in the early history of the world. Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 to 32 tells us all these things. And during the early century of Noah's life, mankind at that time was completely depraved and rebellious against God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, and see what it says. Here it says, and he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beasts, and the creeper things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Then in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. This is the Lord saying. What were the things not seen as yet by Noah. There are two things Noah had not seen. First of all, the primary thing that he had not seen was the destruction of the population of the earth by the universal flood. In those days, they don't have that kind of flood, universal flood. So Noah has not yet seen such a thing. And God told him. He believed it. The second thing, unseen thing, and never dreamed of, was that God was going to deliver him and his family through a great ark which he was going to build. So these are the two things. He never expected it. God will destroy the earth and God will save him. So all these are future. In fact, the book of Genesis stated the explicit instruction of God to Noah to build the place to build the ark. In terms we can visualize, it would be 1.5 size of American football field. I do not know how big it is. And 1.5 size long and 1 football field wide, 4-story high. Very big. I've not seen such a big ship before. You see? So big. In terms we can, Noah had not seen any great flood, and most certainly he had never seen an ark in his life. Noah, after thinking for a moment, he believed God's word, believed what God said to him. And that is faith. That is faith. What took place in the mind of Noah, we are given a clear understanding because of the phrase in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7a. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That phrase brings us back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen." In other words, inwardly, Noah came to possess visual certitude. In his mind, he saw a terrible mountain of water come and cover the entire earth, destroying every creature. That was in his mind. His faith, he can look through all these things. And he saw an ark, the work of his own hand, floating on the tempest. This versatility, this visual certitude was combined with a future certitude, for he was sure of what he hoped for, namely the promise of salvation for him and his family. You see, he looked through all these things, he said, it is true. God is going to save my family. And he believed God. He saw the unseen flood. For him, the future promise of salvation was so real, it was present. And this great belief and combined with trust in God made him to be a man of faith. My friend, faith is always more than certainty of belief. We can believe many things, but do you have that kind of faith in obeying what will happen, or obeying what the Lord says? Here, faith is belief plus trust. Not only you believe, you do. You obey, you do. And that is the faith of Noah. Immediately, Noah entrusted everything to God. He fully believed in the word of God. So the next point, the obedient faith. The next thing about Noah's faith is that it's brought obedient, the obedient faith. This is evident when Noah began to build the ark. He was moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. Now here the word of this verse provided two insights into the natures of Noah. First, the word fear. The word fear is better translated as holy reverence. Holy reverence. Noah obeyed not because he dreaded the consequences of disobedience, but because of the holy fear he has for God, or devotional awe for God. Noah's reverential obedience tells us that at the very heart of a life of obedience, there must always be a holy reverence for God. Not only believe, you trust, but you must have that kind of respect for God. Obedience must always be practical. Immediately, Noah did exactly what God had told him and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. The account, the Genesis account, in chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, verse 5, says that, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded." He followed exactly the blueprint given by God. No shortcut. I know there are many people who does things shortcut. Think this way, that way, shortcut. But here, Noah knows. What God said, he followed exactly everything that was instructed. It was not an easy job to complete the project. While Noah was building the ark, the people looked at him and heard many jokes and insult at him. Noah did not give up. He maintained his faith and trust and kept doing exactly what God has instructed. For 120 years, he did exactly what God had instructed him until the job was done. My friend, think about it. I did not think that deep before, but as I prepared, I think about it carefully. Think about it. Building an ark, 1.5-size football field long and 1 football field wide, 4-story. It's a great job. You do not have the material. There's no Home Depot. Is it where you can buy all the materials and then you construct? No. Everything starts from what? Zero. Just think about how many trees have to cut down and make it in such a way that can build the ark. A great job, isn't it? Secondly, think about the way that it's constructed. Building an ark is, in my mind, is harder than building a house. You build a house, it stands, after all, it can still live in. But building an ark, it must be water sealed. The water mustn't go in. So the joint of every piece is very important. Am I right? Or else it will sink. And there's no way to test whether is it okay or not. You build on the water, on the land, and then that's it. And when the flood came, and the ark just flowed, I said, Noah obeyed everything that God said to him and he did not make any shortcut about it. So think about it, it is a great job. Not easy, not all will take that kind of project. And Noah took it. Faith always obeys. It always acts with reverent heart to do exactly as what God has instructed. And we must ask ourselves, dear friends, do we truly believe the word of God? The Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming to judge the world. What have you done to bring salvation to those around us, to our loved ones, to our friends? What have you done? I know all of you are trying to do. That's good. But here we see that Noah did all these things. What have you done to show your testimony in the way you believe in God? The way you live. These are all very important. Thirdly, the witness of faith. True faith involves certitude of belief, producing obedience, which in turn producing witness. These are all linked together. And this is precisely what Noah's faith did, because his witness condemned the world. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah condemned the world. Then we ask one question. How did he condemn the world? Well, by two things. His witness, he did this by preaching and by the life he lived. These are the two things. Let's consider the first one. Alright. 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. This means that for 120 years, as Noah was building the ark, he was also preaching to all who would listen. His message was a call to faith in God, repentance, and also righteous living. God does not take pressure in melting out judgment on the wicked. God do not have the pressure to destroy people at all. How do we know? Because he delayed the coming of the flood for how long? For 120 years. So that Noah could warn the people to repent. And so Noah preached and preached and preached without ceasing to the people. To the people who criticized him, to the people who said all kinds of jokes about him. And he was still preaching to them. He was still preaching to them. His witness was also by the way he lived his life. Sad to say, none responded to the consistent worship of Noah for 120 years. Except who? Except his family members. Except his family members. Instead, the world became progressively wicked. Noah's faithfully, continually obeyed the Lord. In spite of the many unanswered questions and long years of witnessing with no evidence of the fruit of labor, he simply preached and built and commanded, built as commanded, year after year, in the face of relentless ridicule and indifference from the people. He did his best,
to warn the people and leave the result to the Lord. He just do what the Lord says for 120 years. Not easy. I know many of them give up their witnessing, their preaching after a few occasions, after a few times, attempts. And pastor, preacher also. Stop preaching, stop serving the Lord. But 120 years is a lesson for us to learn. Finally, the legacy of the faith in Noah's life. What do you know about Noah? First of all, we know that Noah was saved by faith. Right? He was saved by faith. His faith led to his salvation. Then came the day when the rain began. It continued for 40 days without stopping. And the people began to think perhaps Noah was right. And he was not crazy at all. Noah and his family got into the ark and they were safe. Sad to say, the world today had not changed at all. Had not changed at all. God's message was rejected in the days of Noah. The same is also rejected today. The wickedness of the people was like that of the days of Noah. They have not changed their basic attitude towards God and will not until Christ returns. They will not. So the world is getting worse and worse. Not better and better, worse and worse. How do we know? Because Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39 tells us that. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you this verse. Matthew 24, 37 to 39. Here Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The Son of Man refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, this world will be getting worse and worse, not better and better. No matter how you run it, it will be that way, as God has predicted here. Noah's righteous life and obedient and faith-filled testimony shines in the world of darkness. His holiness served to condemn those who rebelled against God. He rebuked the world by his consistent life, even if he never uttered a word of reproof. Noah's life left us a worthwhile and instructive legacy. He was the first person to be called righteous. And that righteousness proved that his faith was genuine. How about you? How about me? Are you living in obedience to God like Noah? Living a consistent Christian life like Noah? This is what God desires and wants all of us to be, you and I. So may God help each one of us. As we live each day, may we live each day for Him as a shining light into this world of darkness. And pray that the people through our lives and through our testimony may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God help us in this regard. Let us sing in the closing hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." That is found in our hymn book 525. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for the precious lessons we can learn from the life of Noah, how he believed in thee and trust every word that you have uttered and obey and do. Lord, we pray that you will help each one of us here, thy children, that we may trust in thee and believe every word that you say and follow thy instruction. Help us to live a life that will shine in this world of darkness. Help us to testify for thee, for those who have not known thee, that they may come to the way of salvation. O Lord, this is our earnest plea, and we pray that you will strengthen each one of us to do all that you have entrusted to us. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the filling of the Holy Spirit abide and energize each one of us to do His will. Amen.